Well, good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning. So excited that you're here. I'm super excited about this next part of this specific message. How was your Thanksgiving? Everyone do well?
Yes.
Everyone, how many can be honest that you ate too much turkey? No? Okay. You ate too much, period. Okay. I was just wondering. You know, I was very, we had an amazing Thanksgiving. It went by so fast, you know, but I was very, very grateful. My Thanksgiving was made complete when the Buffalo Bills beat the Dallas Cowboys. I am a hardcore Buffalo Bills fan, have been since the early days. So it was like our nemesis, the Dallas Cowboys. They beat us in two of those final Super Bowls, and I was so happy. I was so, so happy. And but anyways, I was very, very thankful and grateful for that. And then officially, we are 24 days away from Christmas. Woo, are you ready?
Yeah.
Find some Black Friday shopping? Anybody? No?
No,
yeah, it was nothing good. So, but anyways, we're excited. There's going to be all kinds of things celebrated all month long, like Pastor Kathy said. So this morning, Gladiators. Here we go. This is part five. And the great thing about this series, and we try to do this with all of our series, if you say, oh, I missed, you know, one, two, or three, or missed some. These are they have a theme, but they are standalone, and therefore you can get what you can get out of this specific message without hearing parts, you know, one through four. I would encourage you. You can go to fwcpo.org and listen to all four. You know, you will get something out, because the whole thought about this theme, Gladiators, is based off of, you know. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the hall of faith, not the hall of fame, but the hall of faith. And it lists a bunch of individuals in this hall of faith that just blows my mind. You know, some I think, well, wow, I could see why they're in there. And there's others that I'm just like, what? How did that person's name get in there? For example, we kicked it off. We started with part one with Samson. And you think about Samson's life, and you think a lot of people, like, well, Samson could be considered a failure. How in the world could he get listed in that hall of faith? And so we talked at the end of the message, we talked about why he was listed in there. So the great thing about it is he's really just taking the time to dive into and talk about some of these individuals. Like, you know, talk about, because I believe two things this is based upon, is that, you know what, we can have fun learning about the Bible. It's okay. You can have fun learning about the Bible. You know, it's not like weary, dreary, because that's what, you know, like, oh my gosh, I got to read the Bible. No, it's not supposed to be like that. It can be fun, you know, and it's supposed to be. And so so that aspect of it is just, you know, it can be fun. And also, is that there's life lessons that we can learn from each of these incredible men and women, from their successes and failures that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And so, and I would encourage you, if you haven't read Hebrews chapter 11 yet, take a little time. It's about a 5-minute read, you know, and just go through it, and you say, oh my gosh, all these are different individuals. They're incredible men and women that are listed. And so, and we talked about, you know, four different individuals. And, you know, the Bible continues in Hebrews chapter 12. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, it starts off in verse 1. It's a continuation thought, because it starts with the word therefore. Therefore. And with that being there, therefore, we need to know what that therefore is there for. And so the thought pattern behind that is, guess what? Is that this is a continuation from Hebrews chapter 11. It's the same thought pattern. So we'll read on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, right? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So right here, the Bible is outright saying there's a grandstand of heaven in heaven with these heroes of faith that are cheering you on. They're cheering me on. I believe also with them are the loved ones and family, friends that have passed on and gone before. If they knew Jesus, they accepted Jesus in their heart as their personal Lord and Savior, they're up there and they're cheering you on. They're saying, yes, man, you could do it. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. You're able to make it. And they're cheering you on. And they're cheering me on. And so, and one thing about a crowd is that a crowd can be loud, but you can't hear an individual so much within the crowd because they lose their individual voice being in that crowd. So the purpose and the thought pattern of this series is to take, what if we took one of those individuals, they came out from the crowd and they were running that race with us. They were running a lap with us. What would they say? What would we learn from them? What would we learn about their mistakes or failures? What would they say to us? And so, you know, this morning, we're going to, coming out of the crowd from the grandstands of heaven, coming out, and we're going to talk about the prophet Isaiah this morning. And so before we do that, let's go to the Father and pray, and then we'll jump right into it. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, that we will rejoice and be glad in it. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we make a decision to rejoice right now and be glad in today. We thank you for today. We thank you for this word and the illumination, the light that it's going to shed on areas of our life that we don't even know that we may be even in darkness. And I thank you, Father God, for the word that comes forth this morning that is going to be encouraging, strengthening. But most of all, Father God, that you're lifted up. Because your word promises that when you're lifted up, that all men will be drawn unto you. So, Father God, we want, desire to lift up your name. So everyone draws closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Say, amen. All right, so I'm going to give you some facts about the prophet Isaiah, okay? I'm going to give you some facts about Isaiah. Isaiah, you know, so we can do some learning here. Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet about 800 years prior to Jesus. Probably of all the prophets, the most famous, some say it's due because the book of Isaiah is the biggest, the largest. It has 66 chapters in the book, within this prophetic book. And the historical side, right, the historical side of Isaiah is that he lived in, like, if you look at the Second Kings, somewhere between chapters 15 and 20. And you say, well, he didn't live very long then. No, if you know, those chapters and numbers are there for us. They weren't written that way when the Bible was written. And so that could have been years and years and years, you know. And so that was the time frame, the historical side of where he was and but his prophecies, the prophecies are in the prophetic section of the Old Testament. And now one of the interesting things about Isaiah, to me at least, is that he clearly saw Jesus. You say, what you talking about, Willis? You know, he clearly saw Jesus. Even in the New Testament, the Gospel of John references that that Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord. He saw Jesus. That is why Isaiah is the only prophet to give such a vast detail of the crucifixion 800 years before it even happened. That's pretty incredible. God bless you. That's pretty amazing. But that's what he was. He was a prophet. And the interesting thing about the ministry of a prophet is prophets help us see. Help you see. That actually was another name for prophets, which was the name seer. They see things that you and I, is why they would prophesy. God would use them like hey, this crowd can't see this, so say this. That makes sense? He would say, hey, they don't see this, so you know, in this case, Isaiah, say this. So that is the benefit of studying out Isaiah here this morning. And the entire goal of today's message is that you see your spiritual journey a whole lot clearer after today. Your spiritual journey, your spiritual walk with Christ, your spiritual relationship with that, you see it clearer after today. So of all 66 chapters, I pulled out a verse here that I believe would summarize what Isaiah would say to us. And that Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, out of the NIV, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. So basically, right here, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what your life looks like up to this point, no matter if you're on the right side of the road of life or you're doing things, you're living right for God in this moment, or you're not living right, you're on the wrong road in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of trouble you're in. It doesn't matter if your life is great. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter. God is saying right here that you and I can hear his voice. God will speak to us. Amen. It does not matter what's going on in our lives. Interestingly enough, of the 2.5 years that I've been pastoring the church, that's probably one of the most common things that is asked. Of the 19 years that we youth pastored, of teenagers, that was probably one of the top 5 things that teenagers asked. You know, how do I hear the voice of God? How do I understand how God speaks to me? And I believe that you've seen firsthand when Pastor Kath and I stepped in 2017, you know, we've had specific direction for the church given by God, and we've walked that out. And we're, you know, and then in 2018 and 2019, and God just continues to build and build and build upon, and that people are growing, people are nerds, people are maturing, people are doing amazing. But let me tell you something, it's not a pastor thing. It's not a prophet thing. It's a child of God thing. And that's you. That's me. We're children of God. Nothing is stopping you from having that type of relationship with God. Nothing is stopping. It's not a pastor thing. It's a child of God thing. You know, I believe you're going to understand that today. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. This is the way. Anyone have Disney Plus? Come on, be honest. Disney Plus, right? Okay. How many have been watching The Mandalorian, right? Star Wars, right? When I read this, I freaked out because I've been watching The Mandalorian, and their little motto thing is they look at each other, all the Mandalorians, and they say, this is the way. I'm like, that's in the Bible, man. You know, I'm like, that seriously. They say, look, you those of you watch it, right? And I was reading, I'm like, this is in the Bible. You know, I was like, oh, you know, but anyways, obviously, Disney Plus, right? Anyways, and then Baby Yoda. Who loves Baby Yoda? Baby, who doesn't like Baby Yoda? He's so cute, you know? And my wife's like, ew. But no, he's so cute. I guarantee you, I'll prophesy about this. If Disney comes out with toys this Christmas, they're going to bank, you know? And so, but anyways, that's the way my dog looks at me when I'm eating. And so... but seriously, here today, the prophet Isaiah is actually, you may be sitting there saying, you know what, John, you know, I do struggle with this. I do struggle. Some people, it looks like, I never walk like that. I believe after today, you're going to understand more. You're going to understand how. See, the challenge is for a lot of us here, honestly, it's categorizing. It can be very confusing. I think a lot of confusion sets place. A lot of confusion rises with, you know, because people have so different many ways of how they hear God. I mean, it's very different for Pastor Kathy and I. I've mentioned this, you know, I read the word, you know, I listen to different like podcasts or whatever, but I am submerged in worship. She is not submerged in worship to the degree that I am. She's walking around with listening to podcasts. Very different. So it could be confusing. Which one's right? Which one's wrong? There's not a right or there's not a wrong, honestly. So it can be confusing, you know? And how many know things in life can be confusing? You know, it really can. How many, talking about confusing, how many grew up watching Johnny Carson? Right? Miss Maggie has both hands up. How many grew up watching like Jay Leno? Right? Okay, I didn't watch either of them. I watched Arsenio Hall, okay? How many remember the 90s Arsenio Hall, right? The dog pound, right? Right? And he had this thing, Arsenio Hall, one of his comedic segments, talking about confusion, talking about being confused about things, and things that make you go, How many of you know, remember that, right? He says, things that make you go, So I remembered a couple of them. I'm going to just share with you, talking about confusion, share with you this morning, kind of put a smile on your face, you know. you know, and so things that make you go, Does Adam really have a belly button? Think about that. Makes you go, right? If the number two pencil is so popular, then why is it number two? Why is it when traffic is the slowest, they call it rush hour? Right? Things that make you go, Why is the guy who invests all your money called a broker? Right? Things that make you go, If flying is so safe, then why do they call the airport a terminal? Last one, okay, I'll spare you because the first service got more. I'll spare you. I picked out the good ones that they laughed at. So, last one. Why do people pay money to go to the top of tall buildings and then put money in the binoculars to look at stuff on the ground? Just things that make you go, Arsenio Hall was much better at that than I was. So anyways, but here's the question that, you know, I think that we're going to ask here today, and I believe that Isaiah is telling us is this, is that for when you are trying to make sense of it all, an encounter with God changes everything. When you're trying to make sense of it all and the confusion and everything else, an encounter with God changes everything. Encounter with God. Meeting God personally. That's what an encounter is. Our goal is that each and every one of you get closer to God. I mean, this encounter with God has been rolling around in my spirit, in my heart for the last 3 months. And so this morning, I feel like I get to let some out. And by the end of the service, I will share with you why. But I believe, I know it's important to have an encounter with God and have encounters, if I could say. And not just one, but more than one, several encounters with God. You know, and I know that there's some people in the house they're sitting here saying, you know, I haven't even had one. I'm struggling with the one. I would just like one. You know, and here I'm you're talking about many. I'm struggling with just the one, and I can't, you know, I want, because each and every one of us, deep down inside, we truly wanted an encounter with God. But I believe that the reason why people are missing it is because they're going about it incorrectly. How to experience an encounter with God, individuals are going about it incorrectly. And Isaiah teaches us this. This is why he is the seer. He sees things that we don't. And so he goes and he teaches us this. And remember, he saw the crucifixion of Jesus. He described it in detail 800 years prior to. So, you know, I would ask you, 800 years prior to, how many would like that kind of clarity in your life? You know, I think, you know, I'd raise both hands and a leg, you know? That would be me. I would want that type of clarity. But I'm here to tell you, you can. You can have that type of clarity in your life. You were built to have that type of clarity in your life.
Amen.
So, Isaiah, he tells us how. If you're taking notes, write it down. Number one, why are individuals not encountering God? Number one is this. Our greatest pain can be a catalyst for our greatest gain. Think about that for a second. Our greatest pain can be a catalyst for our greatest gain. God, you know, because why is that so? Why doesn't it happen? Why isn't an encounter with God taking place? Because when we are going through something, when we're getting in the middle of a pain, we're in the middle of a struggle, we're in the middle of a challenge, human characteristic is not to run to God. Adam and Eve, when they messed up, right? They didn't run to God. They ran from God. They hid from God. And so, you know, I believe that that is the reason why people are challenged with this. That they don't realize because they think that, you know, they have to hide their issues or challenges, their deepest, darkest. You know, they have to hide it from God. When God knows it the entire time, he's fully aware of it. He already is fully acknowledged. He acknowledges. He understands. He knows it. But yet, run from God, when we should be running to God. Individuals are not encountering God because they're running from God. Isaiah talks about this in chapter 6, verses 1-4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. This is what he's saying. High and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple above him. And he continues to go on and describes what he saw. But understand, right here, he's writing this down, that this was the lowest moment to this point in his life. This was the lowest point of his life, the moment when they just lost the best king Israel had had up until that point. They actually committed sin. They started, they started off well, but they finished horribly. And now the entire country's in darkness. The entire country's in disarray. And it was in that darkest moment. In that darkest moment, Isaiah saw the Lord. Because he ran to him. In your darkest moment, have you run to God? Have I run to God? Or do we run from him? He's saying right here that we're supposed to run to him. At the darkest times in our lives, don't run from him. When I was 12 or 13 years old, I in a little church in Ormond Beach, I went there was an altar call. There was a minister that was there. He wasn't as well known as he is today. If I told you who he was, you would recognize his name. And he was not well known as he is today. And I remember, for whatever reason, my father was there. He had already accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, but I remember at 12 or 13 years old, he had an altar call. This minister had an altar call, and I responded. I went down to the altar, and I said the sinner's prayer with a bunch of other individuals. But for some reason, and I don't know why, and I'm not going to rip open the Bible to try and figure it out, you know. But for whatever reason, after I said the sinner's prayer and I gave Jesus, I accepted the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. Immediately, when I said "Amen," I began to pray in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, that obviously got the minister's attention. Never did that before. I mean, just bam, it was there. And the minister began to came over because there's a bunch of people there, and he began to prophesy over my life. started talking about how that God was going to use me in different parts of the world with teenagers and making a difference in teenagers' lives. And if you know anything about Camp Decision Ministries, you've seen that we've walked a lot of that out, you know, now. And so then also some things about, you know, making a difference in this area and adults and people's lives. And so, you know, for an entire, over a year, I served the Lord every morning, got up, prayed, listened to worship music, put God first, didn't let anything come between me and my relationship with him for well over a year until, now if you remember the testimony, if you know the testimony, my mom and dad got divorced when I was 10 years old. She looked at us and said she didn't want us anymore. After 10 years of marriage, me and my brother didn't want us anymore. And, you know, blankety blank, get out. I don't love you. I hate you. Get out. And then we moved to Florida with my father and my younger brother and I. And fast forward 2-3 years later, and now a dream is taking place. I'm the best man for their wedding. They're getting remarried. What dream does a divorced kid, what bigger dream does a divorced kid have that his mom and dad, their mom and dad get back together again and they begin to live as a family again? And so I was there and I was there and I was thanking God. I stood there and I was the best man for their wedding and they got remarried. So praise the Lord. Until 2 days later, 3 days later, came home and there was a note on the table. No explanation of this. She said she can't do it. And she moved back to New York. That was it. Everything was a dark moment. I mean, you know, I felt like I forgave her for what she did, what she said. And that was the beginning of her, of them just back and forth, you know, time and time again. You know, going to get married, not going to get married, and this and that. But that was the end of it. That was the last time. I was so mad at her. Hated her. Hated what she did. It's like a gut punch. You at least expect it from the person you least expected the most, your very mother. And I was mad at God. How could you let this happen? How could you let this happen to us? So I began a journey where I totally turned my back on God, and I just backslid. I just did my own thing 6 or 7 years, and I was very verbal about it. My dad was a street minister for 11, 12 years. He went out on the streets of Main Street and down at the boardwalk area before, you know, all the remodels several years ago, back, you know, and you know, I used to mock that, making fun of that. Just mock God, mock what he did, because I was angry at God. I was angry at my mother. I could, you know, until 6 or 7 years later, like I said, it was after, year after I graduated, 1988. And we were actually with the youth group, Decision Youth Group, and we were in Orlando at a place, like they called them the Jesus Festivals. You know, it was called Jesus 88. Like they got real creative with the name. And so, but they had these open air concerts and this and that, and you slept in tents. Lord Jesus, what was I thinking? And so, Pastor Kathy loves that stuff. And so, we slept in tents. But I remember going, because they had different events all day long. It was like on a fairground, I remember. But I remember going to this one guy, session, and it was a comedian. His name was Pat Hurley. Don't even know he's still doing, you know, comic stuff then, but I remember, never forget his name, Pat Hurley. I don't remember his comic set. I don't remember what he said at the end. All I do remember is whatever he said, God used, and I was Niagara Falls. And he said, if you want to accept Jesus, come meet me down here. And that day, I walked down with like 100 others or so, and I rededicated my life to the Lord. He just said a general sinner's prayer. It wasn't like, you know, two different prayers. It was just one sinner's prayer. And I never forget, he's walking down and he's shaking everyone's hand. Hey, Congratulations, 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 congratulations. The reason why I know he's doing that is because I heard him. You know, because he's coming to me, you know, and he comes up and he says, hey, he looks at me, look at my eyes, congratulations. And he goes to shake the person's hand next to me, and he stops and he steps back and he looks at me, gets right in my face, just dead in my eye, and he goes, God told me to tell you, welcome home. He didn't know that I rededicated my life, but God knew. So there I was as a 12, 13-year-old, had an encounter with God. There I was, you know, I didn't, in my darkest moment, did not run to him. I ran from him. And there he was still for me, there with an encounter. Impacting me. We need to make sure that we are running to God, not running from God. Amen. And that was in 88, and the past 31 years, have a look back. Which leads me to number two. Number two is when we see God clearly, we see ourselves clearly. And that's a reason why I believe people struggle with encountering God. God wants to do a work in the deepest, darkest part of your soul. And a lot of us don't like that. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll go ahead. I want to go to heaven. I will go ahead and get my fire insurance, and I'll say the sinner's prayer so I can get to heaven. But that's it. My heart, everything that's gone on in my life is quarantined. You know, no one needs to go, you know. And God's saying, no, 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 no. God desires to touch and impact the deepest, darkest areas of your heart, of your soul. To really show you who you really are. Isaiah is teaching us these things. Chapter 6, verse 5, the NIV says, woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined. He's going through this moment of like, oh my gosh. He comes to this moment where God reveals where he's at in this time frame, in this darkest moment, and he does this self-evaluation. And then he goes on to say, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. He goes on, and he's Isaiah saying that he was hurting from the king dying. But, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's I've got my own set of issues. He pushed it aside and said, God wants to work through this with me. He saw his own condition. I mean, there's nothing more that I want than each and every one of you to have an encounter with God. Encounters with God. And the only reason why it's just getting kind of like almost in your face about it is because God, you need to know. You let God in your life, he's going to go there. And a lot of us don't want that. But yet we don't understand why we're not encountering God. Why aren't we encountering God like they are? Why isn't this happening like it's happening for them? But yet, we don't know that they've opened up totally to God. See, God will go there. He's trying to reach those deepest parts of our lives to help us and to protect us. See, that deepest, darkest part of my life, I ended up surrendering and I went to God. And God just began to deal with me when I opened up in 88 and I began to serve him again. And he began to deal with me that I needed to forgive my mother. And I dealt with that. I forgave her. I began to pray for her. Where this unconditional love rose. And I began, God had me start sowing these seeds of love in her life just by words and action. Whenever I did see her, because it was out of sight, out of mind with her, she dealt with a lot of guilt because of the decisions that she made. And so when I did see her, I just loved on her. Until we were married in 88, and then we were married in 98. So 10 years of sowing into her, you know, just planting seeds and watering in her life of just love. And in We were married in November of 88. No, sorry, 98. November of 98. And I invited my mom. Woo, my father was hot. What? What are you talking about? She doesn't need to be there. She wasn't there for you and what she's done. And she doesn't deserve to be there. And I said, Dad, you're right. She doesn't deserve to be there. But I didn't deserve to be forgiven what God forgave me of. And that's grace. That's mercy. My dad knew better. He's like, you need to walk off, you know. He had to get his flesh all lined up. And he did. And there she was when we were married. And my grandmother, in my latter years, was really influential about being involved in our lives as a kind of like a mom. And so I wanted to honor her with the groom and mother dance. So I told her, I said, listen, Grandma, when about halfway through it, I'm going to stop. I'm going to bring you over back over to the table, and I'm going to walk over, I'm going to grab Mom's hand. I didn't tell my mom about it because she would have made sure she was in the bathroom. She was taking a smoke, whatever, you know. And so I remember I did that, and I walked over and grabbed her, and she was already crying. And I looked at her, I grabbed her hand, I walked back out, and she's crying. And my mom, you know, she's like, why are you doing this to me? Are you just being nice to me to be mean to me? You know, like your mind starts playing tricks on you, you know? And I just said, no, Mom, this is the love of God. This is what God's done in my life. And I began to continue to sow those love seeds in her life. Just chipping away at that incredible guilt that she carried. We fast forward several years later. Because again, she kind of out of sight, out of mind, fell off the face of the planet. Until I got a phone call that she was dying of breast cancer. Kathy and I, and actually my Aunt Carol, she was living in New York at that time. And we went, I didn't know where she lived, because I never knew where she lived. And we ended up going, and I found out through extended family there where she lived, and I knew what she would have did. If I would have told her I was coming, she would have made sure she wasn't there. That's how she was. So we showed up unannounced. And I remember walking through the door and tears just streaming down her face, thinking, well, she's really happy to see me. That's awesome. You know, but she begins to share that. She said, this morning I got up and I knew that I needed to get things right with God. I didn't have this, never had this feeling before, but I knew I needed to do it and I didn't know how. And I prayed that God would send me somebody to show me how, and here you are. And my mom knew what I believed, and I was able to, I was there, and we spent some time together, but at the end of the time, I was able to lead my mother in the sinner's prayer, and she gave her heart to God, and then she died a month later. And I know she is part of that grandstand, cheering me on, cheering Kathy on, cheering my kids on, that she didn't even know. Now, that would have never happened if I didn't allow God to deal with me about my deepest issues. There's a greater reason for God wanting to do this in your life. There's a greater reason why God wants to move like this. You know, God wants desires, you know, no matter how comfortable it is for you, you know, to allow him to dig it up and give it to him. Because if God wants to reveal it, it's already messing with you. You just don't want to admit it. And God loves you enough to shed light on it. Your protection and your very own victory. Which leads me to number three, and we'll have the music ministry come up, is God removes our past so he can redeem our future. For some listening here today, the reason you're stuck is because you're not headed towards your future. And the only reason you're not headed towards your future is because you haven't allowed God to help you get over your past. And that's why You see people growing. People are growing because they've allowed God to help them get over their past and have their past behind them, and they're moving toward the things of God in the future. And you see people growing around you, and you're like, "What? Why is this not me?" And God's saying, you gotta just give your whole heart, every area of your heart to him. And even areas that you don't even want dug up, because he knows down the line in your relationship with him, it's going to trip you up. See, God doesn't want to talk about your past. He wants to settle your past for you once and for all. Hear that this morning. He wants to settle that past for you once and for all. God will change the very way you see yourself. That's what it's really all about. It's holding you back. Because when you see yourself, he wants to change that. And ultimately, you know what that is? He is reestablishing your identity. He is reestablishing who you are in Christ. What Adam and Eve gave up, they lost their identity. And that is the number one challenge in the world today. No matter what country, no matter what province, no matter what continent. Identity is the biggest challenge in human beings' lives. If that gets restored, all the junk, all the past, everything else, and it's done with. It's done. It's behind you, and you're moving toward the future. Some of you got to let things go. You're holding on to it, and you're saying, "God, I want you to heal me. God, I want you to cause me to move on. God, I want you to bring just health and prosperity and just going and moving on in the things of God." But yet we're holding on. We're like tethered on to these things because we don't want to let go of them. And God's saying, "You've got to let go to encounter me to my fullest." He wants you to encounter him, but you've got to let go. And that's where trust comes in. You've got to trust him. He doesn't want it. He wants to restore your identity, reestablish your identity so you know who you are in Christ. And then when that thing from the past, when something would happen with my mom would come up and oh, there she go again. And I'm like, no. She is deceived. She needs love. She needs someone that will see the best in her, even when she's at her worst. She needs to see Christ in the flesh. She needs to see that example. But if I would have allowed that to never be dug up by God, no telling where she would be right now. Because Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." You must be born again. It's not about being good, baking cookies for your neighbors. No, that's all nice. But it's about asking Jesus in your heart. That is what gets us into heaven. And then God says, you know what, I don't stop there. He says in John 10:10 that, you know, the thief comes, hello somebody, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I have come so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. He was talking about the abundant life here on the earth, not in heaven. That's given. That's going to be amazing. That's going to be incredible for all eternity. He's talking about the abundant life here on this earth. And that's what the enemy is trying to steal from you, because he doesn't want you to be successful in your walk with him. And most of all, he doesn't want you to tell people what God's done for you. Because I was used for my mom's encounter. you're no different. God desires to use you for other people's encounters. What's stopping you? What's worth it?